to Hebrews. Genesis. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12, 1. I love Hebrews, but we're going to Genesis this morning. Hallelujah. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your father and from your father's house to a land, and you guys can turn me down a little bit, to a land that I will show you. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out. Get out of your country. In other words, Abram, be all in for me. Get in with me, Abram. Amen. From your family and your father's house to a land that I will show you. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to three people this morning and say, I'm all in. How about you? Wow, you may be seated. Good to see you this morning. Amen. So that's it, Faith. I love it. Faith's back there. I'm all in. How about you? I love it, Faith. You're such a blessing. We're going to be looking at Abraham for the next, I don't know, few weeks. And I love the story of Abraham because he really was a changer. He was a world changer, in fact. So Abraham was a man of purpose. And so we're going to be looking at the decisions that he made to go all in that led him to change a nation. Amen? And really to change us. It's because of Abraham today that Jesus Christ in his obedience that we have our salvation today. Amen? And it led to, not only that, it led to generational changes. And generational blessings came through Abraham. Amen? We are blessed today. We have the blessing of Abraham upon us today because of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it started with this father of faith. Amen? It started with Abraham. God's got generational blessings for your children today. Not curses. Amen? In fact, the curse has been reversed at the cross. God's got nothing but generational blessings for you, your children, and your grandchildren. So the very same God that called Abraham is the same God that calls us today. The very same God that called him to come and to jump all in and to make an eternal difference is the same God that has called you and I today. God has called us to be world changers. In fact, God has called you to be a world changer. God has called you with purpose, not defeat. God has got purpose for your life. Amen. God wants you to be a contributor, not a consumer. Christianity shouldn't be about laying on our couch, eating popcorn, and watching a movie. Hello? Christianity should be about us being in the movie and God directing the movie in our life. We need to be a contributor and not just consuming. Amen? People that consume all the time get weird. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, God doesn't want you weird. Amen? Actually, God's created you to leave a mark in this world. There's much more to life. Listen to me. There's much more to life than just going to work, paying your bills, paying your taxes, and dying. God wants you to jump in. God wants you to have purpose in this life. God here at Discovery Church wants you to find purpose in your life and jump in. Amen? Praise God. She was talking about Tim this morning, and I was saying that's a big part of my teaching today because Tim was the Barney Fife of Belfast Police Department. And he was on staff there, he was a police officer, but what she didn't tell you is that Tim is blind in one eye, and I remember sneaking up on him one night while he was sitting in his patrol car and freaked him out, you know, because he couldn't see on this one side, and I knew it, right? So you know how pastor is, right? So just playing a little joke on him, and thank God didn't get shot, right? So I don't know if he carried a bullet in his gun, but amen, but what an impact This young man, I still consider him young because he's 11 years younger than me. This young man is made in the lives of so many young people and people around the world. All because he decided, I'm going to jump in and find out what God has for me. And I want to tell you, God's got good things for you. You can always count on God. But what's amazing is when this story starts, Terah, his dad, Abram's dad, was at the end of his life. And it was like there was no one else to carry on the legacy. There was no one else to carry on the name but Abram. And Abram, at this time, was 75 years old and without a child. It looked hopeless, right? Like, it is just hopeless. But God, everybody say, but God. But God came through for him. I kind of like a little bit what Carly was sharing yesterday. It's really important where you put your butt at. Turn to somebody and say, it's really important where you put your butt at. Right? Because a lot of times, you know, we'll say, you know, I know the Lord can heal me, but I got this going on. So it's really important that you move your butt. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. I know I got this going on, but God is my healer. Amen. This might be coming my, but God is able. Amen. I know this is happening, but I've got a God that triumphs over all those things. Amen. So we serve a God, hallelujah. And it's so important where you put it at. Turn to somebody and say, put your butt in the right place. Oh, my gosh. Amen. So here's Abram. He's 75 years old. It's at the end of this generation. There's no more hope, seemingly. And he's childless, yet his name means father. Abram means father. Now, later on, we're going to find out more about Abram. But God changed it to Abraham, which is father of many nations. Amen. But right here, he's called father, and he's childless. And, you know, here's the first step right here. The Lord said to Abram, God had a word for Abram. Just like God had a word from Tim, God has a word for you. It always starts with a word from God. Amen. When you start to understand the revelation of God's love and God's grace for you, and you begin to receive that into your life, and you realize it's not about you, but it's really about Him, all of a sudden, things begin to shift and begin to change in your life. Amen. So right here, things begin to shift in Abraham's life. But it wasn't a beautiful picture like we would think. He just didn't go from A to Z without any difficulties. He just didn't, you know, go from point A to over here and say, woo, I've arrived without any challenges. How many know life sometimes can be a challenge? Anybody realize that besides Pastor? Amen. In fact, you know, the Bible tells us that there rose a famine in the land, and here Abram leaves this area and he goes down to Egypt because Egypt was the only place that he could find food at that time. And so he leaves his place and goes down to Egypt. Anytime we go to the world for our answer, and Egypt is a type of the world, we're in problems. Anytime we go down and leave the place God has given us and start searching out there in the world, we have a difficult and we have problems. Because Abraham all of a sudden drifted away from this word and he decided to go down to Egypt. Now, don't you think a God that was going to promise him a child is also a God that can feed him and a God that can take care of him? Hello, somebody. But here Abram, he decides, hey, I'm going to follow, go down to the world. Well, the Bible says that we don't follow the world, but we're transformed from the world by what we think by the renewing of our minds. So look what happened. Look at verse 13. Drop down here just a second and look what happened here in verse 13. So he goes down there, and Sarah, his wife, is about 65 this time and looking good. Turn to somebody and say, there's hope for you. Say, stay in Jesus, there's hope for you. Amen. She is looking fine, right? And guess who cast his eyes upon her? It was Pharaoh. And listen what this man of faith said. He said, please say, you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, right? And that I may live because of you. Well, he was doing this expecting to get a great dowry if they thought that she was the sister, right? And he wasn't expecting that old Pharaoh was going to find her really awesome. Hey, baby, what's up, right? And he did. He found her very attractive, wanted to take her into his harem, and there where his problem began. When you begin to drift off of faith, because faith is our covering, amen, and you begin to search out here in the world sometimes, your problems are really going to begin. And here is Abram finding himself in trouble and finding himself lying about his wife. I'm trying to, brother. This is good. So what would you call this moment? A lack of faith or an interview to be on Jerry Springer? What would you call this, right? I mean, you got to think about this a second, right? A lack of faith or, you know, hey, I'm trying out for Jerry Springer here and, you know, my messed up life. Here is a man of faith. We're getting ready. He wanted to jump all in, but it wasn't all smooth sailing, right? In fact, Abram drops the ball about 5 times. Through his life story, he drops the ball about 5 times. Now turn to somebody else and say, there's hope for you. Amen. There's hope for you. Amen. You know how when we walk this life and we go through faith and we live from faith to faith, that's how we're supposed to live, right? From faith to faith. We have challenges in life. We have things that rise up in life, some to no of our avail and no of our doing, but they're just there and we have to face them. And how you face them and how you overcome them is through faith. It is through faith. The Bible says it is our faith that overcomes the world. It is through faith. It is by faith we quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So here's the thing. He went down to Egypt, right? He went down to Egypt and there he found difficulty and there he found trouble. Amen. And in Genesis 16, it gets, you know, a little bit worse there. For a few years there, you know, he was in Genesis 16. He had not a son. He did the same thing. Same thing was happening to him. But in Genesis 16, he devised a plan. And this is really a Jerry Springer plan. He says, hey, you know, Hagar is her servant. And Sarah says, hey, you know what? Abram, we're without child. So why don't you go in and just sleep with our servant Hagar? And Abraham said, all right. Real man of faith. Come on, somebody. Amen. Slept with her. And what happened? We have Ishmael. Ishmael, anything that's born out of the flesh is not going to be profitable. Ishmael was not born out of the promise, but he was born out of the flesh. So here we have him going down to the world. Here we have him lying. Here we have him sleeping with his servant, wife's servant. And here we have Ishmael, and you know the story, Sarah, you know, and Hagar, they just didn't get along. Neither does spirit, and neither does flesh. Y'all with me this morning? Amen? And so they kicked him out of the house, right? And they were still childless. Amen. And it's amazing, because look, where did Hagar come from? Look at Genesis 12, 16. Look at Genesis 12, 16. Amen. He treated Abram well. Pharaoh, he treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. She was an Egyptian. She came out of Egypt. Hagar came out of Egypt. Here's the point. Listen to the point I'm trying to make here this morning. It's easy for God to get Egypt out of us. But it's hard for us to get Egypt out of ourselves. It's easy for God. The moment we believe, we're transformed. Amen. Our spirit's brand new. But this transformation of our thinking sometimes takes some time to what we have in the spirit. And so it's easy for God to get, whoa, Egypt's gone. But here we are still struggling with this old stuff that's been in our lives for a long time. God wants to get that old stuff out of you, amen, so that you can completely walk by faith and not by sight or feelings or emotions. And don't go attributing somebody that's having difficulty in their emotions to demons. Don't go and say, well, oh, they've got a demon. Don't do that. That is not of God. A spirit-filled believer, a Christian, cannot be demon-possessed. Period. You turn to three people right there and say, oh, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at Genesis 17:17. God appears to Abraham to renew his promise to give him a son through Sarah and Abraham. And look at this. Then Abram fell on his face. Here God appears to him again. Then Abram fell on his face and did what? He laughed. He mocked God. Here this mighty hero man of faith, man, not only blew it going down to Egypt, not only blew it saying, hey, this is my sister, woman I have here being his wife. Not only that, when God appeared to him again, he laughed. He mocked God. Turn to somebody else and say, now there's real hope for you. Amen? Wow. The father of faith here is mocking God. So there's another failure. Look at Genesis 20. Abraham runs into another king who's, I'm gonna, just for sake of time, you just go there and look at it later, runs into another king, and again, he lies about Sarah. He said, oh, this is my sister. Now, Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Amalek, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Two times, he lies about his sister, his wife being his sister. Wow. Here's the thing about grace, church. I want to show you something here. Here's the thing about grace. Even when you've made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, God is faithful in your mistakes. You didn't hear what I said. Even when you made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, God is faithful in your mistakes. That is what's called grace. You know, God grows us many times by stretching us. Anybody ever been stretched? Remember that toy you used to get at Christmas and you could stretch it, you know? What was that thing called? Also, how many had one of those? Anybody have one? And you stretch it and it just comes right back, right? And you stretch it and it comes right. God stretches us and grows us at times. Do you realize that? He wants to stretch us. He wants to grow us. Making a commitment. Here's a good example. Making a commitment and joining a gym is not going to change your body image. Listen to me. Buying weights and taking them home is not going to change your body image, right? The only good that's going to take place is when you go to a gym, you join a gym, you go to the gym, you go in the gym, amen, you go to a bench, and it's not just to lie there. Thank you, Lord, I made it. Hallelujah. But you go to the bench, and what do you do at the bench? You pick up some weights, hopefully, and you begin to exercise. Turn to somebody and say exercise. Exercise. You're exercising your muscles, right? And if you really want to get healthy and grow strong, what happens? You have to exercise your muscles in rep into what they call exhaustion or failure. Are you all with me this morning? Exhaustion or failure. It's when you reach the exhaustion or failure that your muscles begin to repair themselves and you begin to develop stronger in that area that you're working on. But it's not going to do you any good just to join a gym or buy the equipment unless you begin to exercise your muscles. So Abraham, he decided to follow God, and he decided to exercise his muscles, amen? And he decided to start working his muscles a little bit, praise God. So God wants to stretch us and grow us. God wants us to grow. Faith works like a muscle. Do you realize that? It can only be strengthened by straining the muscle. Your muscle can only be strengthened by straining it. And behind that, God is saying, do you trust me? So faith is the most important muscle in the Christian life. And God wants you to be strong in faith. Faith is not just how you begin the Christian life. It's the whole enchilada. It's the whole thing. Hallelujah. And here's the second thing. Sometimes when you struggle in life, you know, you want that instant thing, man. Just give it to me right now, right? Boy, I like that. Amen. Instant things don't require faith. You know, God is powerful. God could have told Abraham, Abraham, here's your son. I promised your son. Here he is. What faith would that have taken? But God brought Abraham through these things, not only for Abraham's sake, but for our sake, right? So Abraham waited 25 years before God gave him the promise. Abraham was 75 when he received the promise, but God wanted him to grow in his faith. So when you work out with weights, you reach that point of fatigue, and all of a sudden that muscle breaks down, and you think, I can't do anymore. Well, what's happening is God is repairing that muscle. Amen? You're strengthening that muscle. So actually at that point is where you begin to move forward and you get stronger where you are. Praise God. So you might be surrounded with conflict today. You might be surrounded with everything going on today. But let me tell you, God is a faithful God. And it's not dependent upon you, but it's dependent upon him. It's his faith living in you. And when you get to the weakest point, Paul said, that's when we're the strongest. Oh, you didn't hear what I'm saying. When we get to the weakest point, Paul says, that's when we're the strongest. You know why? That's where grace is at your weakest point. Grace is there available to you. Amen? I want you to look at something this morning. Turn to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 3. Amen? Genesis 15 and verse 3. Amen. God appears to Abram again. The neighbor said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Have you ever complained to God? He was complaining to God right here. God, you've never given me an offspring. Amen. And I want you to look at this. This is one of those moments of doubt that Abraham had. Anybody ever have a moment of doubt? Come on, be honest with the pastor. Anybody ever have a moment of doubt? Anybody just think, wow, you know, God, where are you at? Anybody ever done that before? Come on, anybody? Praise God. I think we all had a moment of doubt. God, where are you at? That's where Abraham is right here. God, where are you at? What's going on, God? He's complaining to God. Do you realize God doesn't mind you complaining to him? He's not going to get mad at you and slap you, right? So here's where he begins to complain against God. And then all of a sudden, I want you to look at something. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. Amen. But Abraham believed God. All of a sudden, he was complaining to God. You know what God did? God took him out and said, Abraham, look at the stars. He said, you see those stars? So shall your descendants be. Wow. God, all of a sudden, he saw a picture of what God had for him. And when we get that vision of what God has for us, things begin to change in our life. When we get that perspective of how good God is, how much he loves us, things begin to change in our life. And God showed him a vision. And listen to what he said. And he believed in the Lord, and it accounted to him as what? Righteousness. You know, this is the same verse over in Romans chapter 10, whereby we are saved. People said, Pastor, how are Old Testament people saved? Same way we are saved. They believe looking forward. We believe looking backwards. And here's the same verbiage, the same language as Romans chapter 10, 8, 9, and 10. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as what? Wow. Here's the thing. It's not about, you know, God, can I trust you? Sometimes it's about, God, can you trust me? God, can you trust me? Man, hallelujah. So what happened? Second time, drop down to verse 17, if you will, real quick. Here's what's really cool, guys. I want to try to close in this morning. Wow, this is so good. Amen. We overcome, listen to me, we overcome difficulties by faith, but we overcome difficulties in life not only by faith, but we overcome struggles when we grasp God's commitment to us. I want to tell you, God's committed to you this morning. Through Jesus Christ, God is committed to you. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to take five things. I believe it was a dove, cattle, goat. And he said, I want you to split them in half, and I want the blood to flow, and then I'm going to come down, and I'm going to walk between the blood. Now, how many have ever used a contractor before? If you're a contractor, don't get mad at me right now. How many has ever used a contractor? How many know you sign a contract with contractors? Amen? Well, contract with contractors can be broken, right? This was something done by the blood. And usually what happens is the servant would pass through the blood, not the king. But in this situation, the servant didn't pass through the blood. The king came down, the burning torch. That's the presence of God. God came down and made a covenant with Abraham. And a covenant required death. So if you broke the covenant, God was saying, I'm going to die. It required death. Now, that might be good for contractors today. Instead of a contract, let's do a covenant, right? And God came down, and God walked between these two pieces, walked in the blood, and he was saying, Abraham, this is upon me. This is all about me. This is all upon me. Amen? And it's really not about you, Abraham. It's me who's going to see you through. It's my faith that's going to see you through this thing. It doesn't matter how many times you blew it, Abraham. It's really about me. Amen? The covenant is not about you. It's about me. I'm making a covenant with myself that I'm going to be faithful to you. Woo! Hallelujah. Y'all got to get this. Now, there's another picture here, because if you go over to Matthew and you go over to the crucifixion, you'll see that darkness covered the earth. That all of us were in dark sin, right? And there was a spear thrust in his side, and a river of blood flowed out. And that river of blood is that same covenant of God cutting a covenant with us, saying it's not about how faithful you might be, it's about how faithful I am to fulfill the promise in you. Hallelujah. Woo! It's about my faithfulness, not just what you rely on, because it's about my grace, amen, and my love for you. So God went through the pieces. It's the same verbiage there as it is in Christ's crucifixion. God is responsible. What he's saying is God is responsible for both sides of the covenant. In other words, God can't fail you, even though your faith may fail. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. God can't fail you, even though your faith may fail. How many knows at times our faith can fail, even though we put it in God, and that's where it should be, but our human side at times, things we, you know, come on somebody, things we get our minds on, things we allow our minds to get on, all of a sudden we find ourselves failing. But I want to tell you, God will never fail you. In fact, the Bible says when we are faithless, God remains faithful. God is going to be faithful to you. God's going to be faithful to your family. God's going to be faithful to your finances. God's going to be faithful to your health. God's commitment to you is greater than your commitment to him every day. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. God's commitment to you is greater than your commitment to Him every day. God is committed to you not to see you fail, no matter how many times you failed. And that's why Abraham could jump in. Amen. When he had this covenant, Abraham could just go all in. Abraham says, I'm going to go all into the fact, and we'll get on to this later on, but Abraham said, I'll go all into the fact that I can offer up my son, my one and only son, by the Spirit, Isaac, because I trust you. God, I know, you know, we're going up this mountain, but we're both coming back. He believed God so much through the commitment of the covenant that he said, God, if I go up to the mountain and sacrifice Isaac, my only son who I love, I know, God, you'll raise him up because I've got confidence in this covenant. You can have confidence in that covenant of Jesus Christ. You can have full confidence that what he said will come to pass. Come on, give somebody some praise. Give him some praise this morning. Amen. He's faithful where you are, no matter how many times you stumbled. No matter how many times you failed, no matter how many times you've gone backwards, God is still here. And what God's saying to you this morning, will you rise up? Will you get up and say, yeah, I'm all in, God? Will you get up and say, yeah, I might have failed yesterday, I might have failed the day before, I might have failed last week. In fact, God, you know what, I probably failed all my life, but this morning I'm getting up. Your sign of getting up is saying, God, I'm all in with you. Amen. So I wonder this morning if anybody wants to get up and say, I'm all in. Anybody in this place? Come on. Anybody want to just stand up? Come on, say, I'm all in this morning. Amen. Come on, somebody. Anybody want to get up and say, yeah, God, I'm all in with you today. Doesn't mean that, you know, you're back here, but I'm all in. Praise God. Lord, I take everything you have for me today. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands this morning? Praise God. I take everything you have. Crystal, I want you to come up here just a moment. Faith, I want you to come up here a moment. Faith, praise the Lord. Crystal, where you at? Praise the Lord. Faith, come up here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Turn me up just a little bit, guys, if you would. Faith, just come up here. I want you to pray for some people this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Cosmin, where are you at, brother? Are you here? Where's Cosmin? Coming up here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, some of you feel like failures. Some of you know grace. You've walked in grace. But some of you feel like failures. I want to tell you, God is not a failure. God loves you so much today. Amen. Some of you are here and you just say, you know, I just need somebody to love on me. I need some prayer. Amen. I want to tell you, God's loving on you this morning. Amen. He cares for you today. If you'd like to just have some prayer this morning, I'd like for you to just come forward a second. I don't know where you're at or what's going on, but, you know, this is a powerful, powerful service today, and I know God moved mightily. Amen. But if you need prayer, I want you to just step forward this morning. Let these pray for you and say, hey, we're going to pray. We're going to agree. Come on, anybody else? Come on. Come on. Don't hold back. Just come on. Let's agree to each other this morning. Let's pray for one another today. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. There's still some more. I feel like there's still some more this morning that you just say, oh, Pastor, I could use a little extra faith this morning. I'm going to release that faith today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else this morning? Would you stretch forth your hands towards these up here? Guys, would you just pray for these? Amen. This morning. Cosmin, would you just pray? Amen. Them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else today? Father, we thank you right now. God, you never let us down. Amen. Because of that covenant we have with you today, God, we're all in. Hallelujah. Thank you for the security we have in Jesus today. It's not about us, Lord. It's not about what we've gone through. But God, it's about you being in the midst. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God, we can eat off that table today. And Lord, we are thankful for that. Lord, we bless you today. Thank you for bringing healing this morning. Thank you, God, for just moving in the lives of your people today. Thank you, Lord, you care for us this morning so much and so deeply. God, you are our healer, and we praise you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you are faithful in every area of our life because of the covenant of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We bless you today, God. We bless your name this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we just are so glad we can lean on your grace today, God. We're so glad that you're there with us today, Lord. We're so glad you never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are good, good, good. Faithful you are to us, Lord. Faithful you are to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'll sing it one more time, guys. Church, would you sing it with them this morning? Come on, sing faithful. Faithful. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. All of his promises.
Faithful you are.
I'll sing it with them.
Faithful.
Father, we just pray for those over Facebook this morning. Thank you, God, for touching their lives. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging them today. Thank you, Lord, knowing that you're committed to them today because of the cross of Jesus. Your love, God, for them is unconditional this morning. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just agree right now, Lord, the light would come on. Amen. The light would come on in the hearts of your people today to receive that grace and receive that love today. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Why don't you turn to 5? Come on, give me some praise. Amen. Find 10 people this morning and tell them, God loves me more than you. Would you do that? Come on.